Hi, everybody. This is Pam coming to you from the podcast Women Who Stutter, Our Stories. I'm really excited today to have the opportunity to chat with special guest Nina G. So please join me in welcoming her. Hey, Nina.
Hey, how are you?
I'm good. You? Could
Great.
Could you introduce yourself and tell us where you're from and what you do?
Sure. I am in the Bay, in the San Francisco Bay area, and recently I started doing stand-up comedy, and I'm also a person who stutters, and I also identify as having a learning disability, too. So it's always hard to tease out my identities as a person who stutters and as a person who has a learning disability, but that's what I say that I am.
All right. Well, hey, so I'm talking to somebody with multiple personalities then.
Well, multiple identities, definitely.
So, okay. Yeah. All right. Okay. So how long have you been stuttering?
Let's see. Probably since I was 8 was when my parents first identified it, but I think it may have been at 7, because that's when I think I started to be treated a little bit differently for my speech than I had been previously.
Mm-hmm. What do you mean treated differently? By like peers or by teachers or your parents or what?
It's my earliest memory of something that was kind of stuttering related. Mm-hmm. Was in second grade. The teacher I went to Catholic school, and like every single kid in second grade had to get up in front of the church and read a one-line prayer during Mass every month. Mm. And I was the last kid to be to do it. And I told the teacher that I hadn't done it yet, and she just like basically ignored me and chose someone else.
Oh.
And at that point, I didn't know it was necessarily speech, and you know, and it could not have been either. But it sounds like a stuttering thing, right?
Yeah, it does sound like that. You know, I went to Catholic school too. Did you have to wear like those really dorky uniforms?
Oh, of course I did, yes. And dorky like, shoes, the whole thing.
Yeah, we had to wear like these little, we had to wear beanies on our head and like these
beanies?
Little.
Beanies?
Yes.
That's really bad.
And like these little bow ties with like a little snap on them with like this little, you know, white, like doily collared blouse. It was awful.
That sounds really bad. I don't think ours were as bad as that, but it was still pretty bad.
Yeah. Did you go to Catholic school in middle and high school too?
No, actually, I went to Catholic school for 7.5 years. Mm. It was first through eighth that I mostly went, and for half of that time, I went to a school that specifically worked with kids who have learning disabilities.
Oh.
And I left there because I was the only girl. Because I guess in the 80s, only boys had learning disabilities. So I was the only girl. So I eventually went back. But then it's the Catholic high school that I applied to didn't allow me in spite of me being at the feeder school for it, which was probably best thing ever, because I went to public school. I had a horrible time in Catholic school, mostly because of my learning disability. Mm-hmm. And going into public school really helped me a lot in terms of just not being as stigmatized.
Oh, okay. Yeah. That makes sense, because public schools are a lot more obviously diversified than private schools are and were.
Yes.
So did you have any grief growing up over the stuttering? I mean, were you picked on, you know, teased, mimicked, all that stuff?
Of course. Is there anybody who isn't? Is that?
Well, I think some of the people that have had the covert experience might not really have, you know, had to deal with some of that stuff because they kept it hidden like I did. So so you know, I was spared from a lot of that, but I got it when I did dare to speak and, you know, stuttered publicly. And then when that happened, that shut me up even more. So it sounds like you were pretty overt from the get-go.
Yeah. I mean, okay. There's a couple things here. I think one, having a language-based learning disability, there's no way in hell I could be covert. Because you covert types, like, think of all these different words.
Right.
I can only think of, like, two words, and that's it.
Oh.
So I'm going to say one of those two words. So I think there's an interaction there. I don't know if there's ever been any research on that, but I think there's something to it.
Yeah. Wow. Now, I would never have thought of that, because you're right. I had like this amazing vocabulary as a kid because I became a master at, you know, scanning ahead, switching words and all that. And in your case, you didn't have that at your disposal.
Wasn't going to happen then, and it's not going to happen now. So
yeah. So, well, it sounds like you got all kinds of interesting stories to tell, but I really want to hear about this whole comedy thing. How the heck did you decide to get involved in doing comedy as a person who stutters?
Gosh, there's a lot of things I could say on that. I think the basic thing is that I've been wanting to do something like that since I was 11.
Really?
Yeah. So when I was 11, like I had fantasies about doing that. And I just never did because, you know, it doesn't pay anything and, you know, it's a hard industry to get into. But I also think in part, I never, you know, it's not like we see comedians on TV who stutter, and I know Bob Newhart does, but it doesn't feel like the same experience I have.
Yeah.
So it never occurred to me that it's something I could actually do. And then this past year, I went to the National Stuttering Association conference last year in Arizona, and it was the first conference that I've been at since like 1992.
Really?
Yeah. No, is that crazy?
Yeah. Oh wow.
Yeah, and like it's what I realized when I went there that stuttering impacts you at every stage of your development. And I think for a long time I thought, okay, it's just going to affect me in the career that I choose, and that's it. Mm-hmm. But I really realized last year how much it impacts my social interactions and like, and for me, it was a lot of the space that I take up as a woman who stutters. Does that make sense?
You know, actually, I love that phrase, the space that I take up as a woman who stutters. What do you mean by that exactly?
You know, what I noticed last year, and it's something that I really, you know, it's like, as a person who stutters, you're kind of isolated because it's, you know, less than 1% of the population.
Right.
And to be in a situation where everybody else talks and communicates like you, you can see yourself reflected. And I think as women, you know, if we're in, I'm active in the NSA group in the Bay Area. And, you know, just as a woman, you don't get to see other women who stutter a whole lot, especially, like, in the media, not, you know, like, Annie Glenn, and that's it.
Right.
Just being around other women, what I observed was, you know, I think as women who don't stutter, they don't always take up a lot of space. And, you know, and I always think about the way women are expected to sit. You have to sit cross-legged. When women interact, they allow men oftentimes to talk first and take up space, and then they insert themselves into the conversation. And I think as a woman who stutters, last year I really realized how much space that I give up to the environment, and that's when I came back from it, and I just looked at my life and I said, okay, I'm giving up a lot of space to a lot of people, and how am I gonna reclaim that? Mm-hmm. And that's when I started doing stand-up in March, was when I started to kind of look at that and say, okay, well, this is something I'd been wanting to do since I was 11. So maybe, you know, 20 years later, it's time.
Mm-hmm. So, wow, I just really like that whole concept of the space, but I'm more intrigued with finding out about this. So how did you, like, break into it? Like, did you just go to some club and say, hey, I stutter and I have a comedy routine? How did you get into it?
You know, I really didn't know how to get into it. So I took a class at the San Francisco Comedy College.
Oh.
And when I first called them up, I was like, okay, so I stutter, and I stutter openly. I don't want you guys thinking that I have to not stutter. And I gave Rich, the guy who sets everything up, a lot of crap, because I was like, you aren't going to change me, and what do you guys think of that? And he's all, no, it's fine, just come. And from there, I just learned more about stand-up, and they also have open mics there. And then from there, I went to other open mics and just met people in the comedy community in San Francisco. And you know, every time that I do a new place, there's always that weirdness and that anxiety about how are they going to accept me. And usually it's fine.
So, like, how do you, but I guess I'm still not understanding, like, how do you get your foot in the door to actually do, I mean, are you just doing this in open mic settings, or have you actually done, like, a routine at, like, a club or something?
It's pretty much a combination of all of those things.
Okay.
And so, yeah, you start off doing open mics, and I probably do, like, 3 to 4 open mics every week. Just because it's so important to, like, try out it's your new material. And then maybe right now, because it's summer and I have a little more time, I've been doing more booked gigs. And you just, like, people will see me at the open mics, and then they'll come up to me saying, you know, I enjoyed what you did, and I have a spot for you on this date. Can you come?
Okay. Wow. So, wow, that's, like, really cool. So, like, mm-hmm. you know, so, like, what do you say, like, at one of these open mics? Like, how do you start off your, is it called a routine, or how do you start?
Yes. Your set is the official term, but yes.
Okay.
either word is fine. I mean, you know, I'm still developing more and more of my stuff, but I mean, I have a good 10, 15 minutes on stuttering, of course. And I use bits and pieces of it depending on what my set is. So I might do two minutes on stuttering and 3 minutes on dating, or 2 minutes on stuttering and, or like five minutes on stuttering and 2 minutes on something else. But I just feel, for me, when I go into an environment, I want people to know that I stutter because it reduces the anxiety in me. Mm-hmm. That if I disclose early on, so I always say something up front.
Like what?
Let's see. I have one joke that I've been using a lot, which is my opening one. Well, I'll come out. Last night I came out and I said, as you can probably tell, I stutter, because, you know, no one ever thinks that we just stutter, and they're always shocked because I don't know what they think what a person who stutters looks like. Mm-hmm. But they never think that we do. So I try to point out that. And then what I say is, I've had to overcome a lot of adversity in my life to be here in front of you. And then I make them clap. And I say, oh, thank you. This is like a after school special. That thanks for all the validation. And then I say, yes, it takes a lot of courage to get up here and tell dick jokes.
Dick jokes.
I know. I wasn't gonna swear, but that's gonna be like the most that I say. Is that okay?
Yeah, it's fine. It's okay. So when you tell a dick joke, you're also incorporating the stuttering in there as well, or?
Oh yes. Oh yes. Of course.
So, like, wow. This is like, it's kind of catching me off guard a little bit, but like, how do people react? Like, are they receptive, or like, do they make fun of you?
You know, a little bit of everything, and you know, usually the crowds are so nice. Mm-hmm. Like, it's almost shocking how nice everyone is. And I think, you know, in comedy, they want to know more. They're more interested in whether or not you are funny than anything else. Mm-hmm. And I think that I'm fairly strong for a new comedian. So that, you know, that gives me more, I don't know, more credibility. Mm-hmm. That after a while, it's not that I'm this stuttering comic, although that's how everyone knows me in the Bay Area. yet they, whenever I start talking and they don't know who I am, then they're like, oh yeah, you're this stuttering girl. Well, yeah.
Like, how does that feel when you are identified as that? I mean, is that okay?
You know what? It's such a big part of my act. And when people do it, like, there's this weird thing that in comedy, if someone teases you, it's almost like affection. And I think even some of the male comics kind of flirt with me. They're like the third grade boys that they make fun of my stuttering to flirt with me. Mm-hmm. So, you know, it's a different world than the rest of the world. And it's actually a more authentic world because we're actually talking about it instead, yeah, of, like, you know, being uncomfortable around it. So in a weird way, it's very refreshing.
Wow. That's really neat. Like, you know, yeah, like I feel like I have a million questions. And I don't really want to be doing talking. I want to hear you talk. But, like, where do you get your material from? Like, what inspires you? Like, is it your life experiences or funny moments that you've had with stuttering? Or where do you come up with your, now that I know the word, sets?
Mm-hmm. Well, it's my mom asked me this the other day, and I said it's just things that irritate me, and she said, "Oh, then you must have a lot of material because everything seems to irritate you." So, and I think, you know, with stuttering, part of why I started doing stand-up was because, you know, one of my roles in my life is as a disability activist. Mm-hmm. And I think there are a lot of things that we, that people within the disability community experience, and our stories, as you know, mm-hmm. aren't always told. And to reflect our experiences, I think, is an important part. And so I try to, you know, like one of the things is that I'm single, and I talk about when I go out to a bar and a guy asks me what my name is. Mm-hmm. And if, you know, you know that we all stutter on our name, right?
Yep.
Yeah. And so I talk about that, and I talk about what their response is, and then what my response is, and that is based on, you know, every weekend when I go out, someone asks me, did I forget my own name, or did am I sure about that when I stutter on my name, or they make that like hurry it up thing with their hand.
Yeah,
so I may make fun of that.
Mm-hmm. Going back, when you meet a guy in a bar and you strike up a conversation, like when they realize that you stutter, are they still interested in you, or do you find that they, like, you know, treat you like the plague and get away from you as fast as they can?
I think it depends how I handle it. And do you want to hear a story about that?
Oh, of course.
Okay. and I just want to disclose ahead of time to any kids out there that this is not the way that you should be handling things. But still, it had happened, and it's part of my story. So I was hanging out with some of my comedian friends, mm-hmm. and we were at this place where one of our friends was doing trivia night, mm-hmm. and so they were, like, you know, handing in papers with their answers, and so I started collecting papers just because I was there and I was kind of bored. And this one guy handed the papers in, and he's all, "Well, you don't really look official," and I'm all, "Yeah, no, it's okay. I'm the guy's sister, and I stuttered on sister," and so he looked at me. He said, "Oh, you're the guy's sister," and I was with all, I was like, with five of my comedy friends, mm-hmm. and I stopped and I interrupted them. I said, "Guys, look, it's this guy's mocking me, just like I talk about in my act." Mm-hmm. And then, like, I gave him the finger right in front of his face, and I won't say what I said, but the first sound was f.
Okay, I get the idea.
Yeah, no, I know the family show. And then he looked kind of sad, and he went back to his seat, and my friends were like, "Oh my God, I can't believe that you did that." And then they said they were just gonna walk me around to different guys so I could act out my act on them.
Wow. So,
and that's where, like, that's what you don't do. And, like, I wasn't drinking. The other guy who I did that to, he wasn't going to beat me up. I was with friends. Like that's not what you want to do all the time. But for me, it was just one of those nights. There are sometimes those nights when you just have it.
Yeah. And you just get tired of people, you know, misinterpreting or dismissing you or, you know, making fun of you or right. So, yeah, you're right, though. It's not it's not what we should do, but sometimes it happens.
Yes.
Now, it also sounds to me like as I'm listening to this, it sounds like you're actually using the comedic use of stuttering to educate people about stuttering. Am I right? Is that like part of this?
Yeah, I mean, the comedians who I look up to are people like Chris Rock and Wanda Sykes and Lenny Bruce, who were also educating while they were doing comedy. Mm-hmm. And I feel that it's really important to represent stuttering in a way that, like, none of my comedy is, and I'm glad you're bringing this up, like, none of it is like, I stutter in a more self-deprecating way.
Right.
It's the target is always, like, society and how people treat me instead.
Okay, well, that makes sense, because that would appear to be like a really positive way to turn that around and have people gain an appreciation for tolerance and respect and all that.
Mm-hmm. Mm. Yeah, that's what I hope for. So yes.
And do you also, like, and here I am, I'm asking questions when I didn't want to ask a lot of questions, but so what? do you find that you're actually encouraging people to make fun of you while you're stuttering and doing your set?
No. And, like, it was really funny the other day. Two things happened the other night. I had gone to a open mic, and there was another comic there who hadn't seen me, and he didn't know me personally. And afterwards, he had asked, "Oh, so are you doing anything about your stuttering?" And, like, at first I thought he meant, like, are you doing anything in your act? And I'm all, yeah, I do. No, but he actually meant, are you, like, in speech, are you trying to stop this? And, you know, I got really offended. Mm-hmm. And I'm all, no. And he's all, well, you know, one of my friends, you know how, like, everyone gives us really weird advice, like, oh, you ought to sing because that helped my second cousin on my mother's side, and and that solved it all. It was that kind of advice where he said, well, you know, it's my friend touches his nose all the time when he's going to stutter, and then that helps him not to stutter.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, I know. And I'm all, well, you know, that's called a second. And I try not to do those, and I just stutter fluidly instead. And I just and I gave him a attitude, and so, you know, that's how I treat those kinds of situations. But then later on that same night, I went to a comedy show, and I met one of the guys who was headlining, and I was with my other friends who were in the show. And he had asked me what my name is, and I stuttered, and I could tell by the look on his face that he just wanted to start making fun of me. Mm-hmm. And I interrupted him right then and there, and I said, okay, I can see that you want to make fun of me, but know that if you do, the next time that I'm on stage and you're there, I'm going to mess you up so bad that you don't want to make fun of me. It's, oh, no, it's cool. It's cool. And I'm all, no, I can see in your eyes. And he's, oh, no, it's fine, it's fine. And so I shut him up before he could say anything.
Yeah, wow. So that's actually something, that's a technique, actually, that, like, young people could use, you know, like, it sounds like you're standing up for yourself by having a comeback right away. And, mm-hmm. like, that's, like, an assertive way to you know, deal with somebody that reacts, you know, in an unacceptable manner.
Right. And I tell everybody, like, a lot of times the MC, I'll get off stage and they'll poke fun at me. Mm-hmm. And I tell them afterwards, I said, you know, it's the next time I'm on stage, you're going to get it. And sometimes I get back at them and sometimes not. But pretty much everybody that I interact with knows that not to make fun of me. And some of them are actually kind of scared of me, which is lots of fun.
Why are they scared of you?
Because they start saying one thing about my speech, and I give them a look, mm-hmm. and they're like, "Oh no, it's fine. I'm not gonna say it." And so,
wow. So it does sound like it's like a pretty cool community of people that is a part of the comedy community.
Yeah, you know, it's, and the thing is that people in comedy make fun of you as a way to connect with you.
Right.
At least that's what I'm telling myself at this point. So.
Whether it's true or not, right?
Yeah. And, you know, and I always think about, it's the first person on TV who I really related to, who had stuttered, was Stuttering John on Howard Stern.
Yeah.
And what he always said was, if I was the only one being made fun of, I'd be offended, but I'm one of, you know, everybody on the show is made fun of.
Right.
So it's not that big of a deal.
Mm-hmm. That makes sense. But he was kind of okay with, like, being known as Stuttering John.
Right. And
would you be okay with, you know, being known as, like, you know, Stuttering Nina, or, you know, the Stuttering Comic, or, I mean, would you really be okay with being identified like that?
I'm gonna make a joke here, and only people who are, like, involved in the NSA will understand this, but I'd rather be a comedian who stutters than a stuttering comedian.
Okay.
But I think that that's true. I'd like for it to be one aspect,
right,
of myself, and not everything. Right. And you know, when I came up with my Facebook fan page, I had thought, you know, do I want to put stuttering in there? And I didn't, but I did put that I am the world's funniest comedian who stutters, the female comedian who stutters and has a learning disability, because I think I'm the only one. So I can claim that.
That's your claim to fame, definitely.
Yes.
It makes you special.
It does.
Now let me ask this: have you ever bombed with a joke or with a routine? I mean, have you ever, you know, I'm sure everybody does at one time, but, like, have you ever just, like, you know, just bombed and, like, not had anybody laugh?
Yeah, there was one. It's the club that, or it's the time that had most bothered me, and I obsessed about it a lot. Mm-hmm. Was I did this one room that has a lot of tourists, and And I think, and a lot of the faces in the crowd were, it was almost like they were appalled at me, and they wouldn't laugh. And I really looked at that. And what I think what was going on, and I'm assuming it wasn't because I wasn't funny, of course. Mm-hmm. And instead, I think that it was because they thought I was faking it, and they weren't sure if it was okay to laugh at me.
Oh, okay. I didn't even think of that, but that makes sense.
So many people think that I'm faking it.
Okay. Oh, wow. You know, and the other other thing that just popped into my head was that, you know, I did do some therapy as an adult for about 2 years recently, and then I stopped as well. But I remember one time I was working with graduate student at SLPs, and one time we had to go out and do this voluntary stuttering thing.
Right.
And, you know, I was like, yeah. I didn't really, you know, buy into it, but you know, I did it, and I also wanted them to do it too. I was like, you know, if you want me to go do voluntary stuttering, I want you to do it too, so that you know how that feels like.
And yes. Remember, excellent.
Yeah, and I remember a couple, at least two of the student clinicians that I worked with, when we came back into the therapy room, quote unquote, to talk about how it had gone, two people, I distinctly remember this, could not do the voluntary stuttering because they thought it was making fun of people who actually stutter. And you know, that just kind of stuck with me because, you know, in my head when you said that, you know, that kind of makes sense.
I think another aspect of it is that people, you know, unfortunately, we are not on TV, and the ones that are, you know, like Glee, like if there's something that irritates me, it is Glee, because they were going to have a girl on who had stuttered, and then she ended up faking it.
Yeah.
And as I'm sure that you saw on the listservs, everyone was all excited. We finally have someone on TV, and she fakes it.
Yeah, exactly.
And you know, I don't think that people see us enough in the media, and then when they do, it's always like, oh, they overcame stuttering. And I really think that the message needs to be that we overcome discrimination and not overcome stuttering.
Right. I totally agree with that. And obviously, one of the reasons why I wanted to start this podcast, you know, is to just give women the opportunity to tell their stories, stutter freely, and, you know, have women and anybody that cares about stuttering hear women who stutter. But I kind of like to think of it as well as we've overcome the fear of stuttering.
Mm-hmm. You know, because, yeah, exactly.
Yeah, because that was my thing for such a long time. I mean, I've always stuttered, well, since 5 years old. And, you know, I mean, there's not going to be too much that can be done about it. And that was one of the reasons why I basically stopped therapy. But I was afraid to stutter publicly because of fear of social punishment, you know. So I think, you know, what we're doing by, you know, stuttering freely and sharing our stories is showing that, you know, we're not afraid to just be ourselves.
Well, yeah, and I think another aspect of why your show is so important is that, you know, whenever I do presentations on stuttering to SLP classes or classes on disability, I always say that the first place that I ever saw a woman who had stuttered on TV was a hot dog vendor who was like really, really, really hot. And she was on the Howard Stern show. and I was like 24 at the time, and her name was actually Nina too. So it was like I totally identified there. And I always say if women who stutter are getting their role models from the Howard Stern show, there is a serious problem out there.
Yeah, exactly.
So, and that's why I think it's great that you're doing this, because it gives another perspective that isn't seen.
Yeah, so that's Yeah, and you know what's really great is that just about every woman who I've asked to you know, have a conversation with me has jumped at it.
Like, of course.
Like, yeah, like people want to tell their story. Mm-hmm. And it's almost like I'm almost going to say something that's really corny, but, you know, I don't care. You know, it's like you build it and they will come, you know.
Yes.
Kind of like I'm feeling like, wow, like women want to share their story. And it's like that itself is very telling, you know, like there's been very little venue for this. And, you know,
I don't think there's any. I mean, again, we thought Glee and the Howard Stern show, and there is one episode of Small Wonder, which was a horrible show in the 80s, and they had a girl on who had stuttered there, and like the robot taught her not to stutter. So like these are not good examples, and so that's where to really be deliberate in the positive images, I think is really important.
Yeah. Well, I'm really glad we're getting the opportunity to do this. And, you know, like I said, I'm really excited. To me, it's almost like something magical is happening by, you know, having all these stories unravel, because who knew, you know, that, you know, there's just, you know, you don't have to be famous to have a story. And that's certainly what we're learning by having women share here.
Mm-hmm. And you could also share and not be fluent too, because I think that is the message that the media gives. And even it's a posters with famous people who stutter are great, but most of them don't stutter openly.
Right. Yeah, I've always thought and even said aloud a couple times. I think those, you know, posters of people that stutter need to include, you know, ordinary people, ordinary faces, you know, that you might not recognize, but that look like real people. I think that
yes.
that would be more inspiring, especially to kids too, you know.
Exactly.
Because most kids, let's face it, are not going to grow up to be Joe Biden or Tiger Woods that you.
Well, let's hope they don't grow up to be Tiger Woods.
Exactly. Listen, I have one more question. Do you ever deal with stage fright?
I don't think it's the traditional stage fright.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, you know, I'm not anxious. Like, it's kind of hard to explain, because it's not something. It's something that I experience right before I go on.
Mm-hmm.
And like I'm still nervous and I'm anxious and all of that. I go to the bathroom a number of times, but I'm more afraid that I'm going to forget what I'm going to say than that I stutter. which is, you know, just a different place than where I was when I was a kid, where I felt that I shouldn't open up my mouth in front of people if I wasn't going to be fluent. So.
Yeah. Wow. That's really neat. I lied. I have one more question.
Okay.
Do you ever like record yourself? Like, do you have yourself on YouTube anywhere? So, like, you know, we can see you.
You know, I did a gig last night, and my friend had filmed it, and it went well, because it's like, I'm not going to put anything up that didn't go well, and so, you know, like, I'm so critical of myself that, you know, I'm only going to put up, like, really strong stuff, mm-hmm. Which I'm sure that that's a whole other show, and a bunch of other issues, but I do hope to put some stuff up, and if I do put anything up, people can find it at Nina G Comedian on Facebook, and I have a fan page there.
Oh, cool. Well, I'll definitely post that in the little blurb that I write about all the amazing women that, you know, come on here and share their story. And I do think that we may need to do this again to hear some more of your stories.
That would be great. I'd love to.
Yeah. So listen, thank you very much. This has been absolutely fascinating. I appreciate your being so honest.
Thank you, Pam. And thanks again for having your show and representing women who stutter.
Thanks, and this has been Women Who Stutter, Our Stories.